most people understand that the word welcome is more than a greeting. That the things you can't count, count for everything. That life is in the details. So when you come to this place and find that the details of your life are treated as all that matters, you'll understand the difference between a hotel and a Hyatt. And you will say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the people there will smile and humbly reply, you're more than welcome.
You understand the difference between a hotel and a Hyatt. And you will say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the people there will smile and humbly reply, you're welcome. Because the things that cannot be counted are the things that count. I love that. I caught on that line. And I didn't believe that line. They don't believe that line. When you check out of the hotel, they'll give you your bill. And you'll notice, hey, somebody did some counting. And even if you say thank you, thank you, thank you, they will not smile and say, you're welcome, unless you give them something that they can count. They don't want you to notice. But they're selling the dream of that place where nobody's counting. So that they can count your money. I do like this one.
Welcome to a world where you can truly be. A world so thoughtful, so well-appointed in every detail and intention, that the collective feeling of being so utterly cared for somehow helped you be there even more. Welcome to the oh-so-delightful World of Hyatt.
Welcome to the World of Hyatt, where you can truly be, but not for free. It's a business. Hello, it's a business. It's all about counting, and I should know because I'm Pete Hyatt, founder of the Hyatt Hotels. Pete Hyatt, H-I-E-T-T. 2,000 years ago, I hired some illiterate shepherds to paint our first sign, and they paint H-Y-A-T-T. Oy vey, what you gonna do? My first hotel was in a little town named Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. The Hyatt Bethlehem, and yeah, you guessed it. I'm that guy. I'm the guy that missed Christmas, the innkeeper. I prefer CEO. But I was also a COO, Director of Operations, Custodian, Cook, and Marketing Director. Hey, do you want some soap? That's the best part about staying in a hotel, you know, complimentary soaps. You get little complimentary soaps. They're for free, even though they're actually not for free. There you go. Have some soap, all right? That's what I love about staying in a hotel. Yeah, woo! Party time. There's soap for you over there. Here you go. Have some soap. The other thing that I love are those little, you know, the little paper things around the seals on the toilet seat. Break the seal. Cross the finish line. Number two, you're a winner. I love that. The soap. I love the soap. And there you go. You can have all you want. I love the soap, and those seals on the toilet seat. But like I was saying, I was the marketing director. I was also the business manager. And let me tell you, long about zero, I had my hands full. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Not so much. It was the census. And it was the world of Romans. The Romans hadn't yet figured out that if you took a census, you could, like, go to the people. No, the Romans made you go to them just so they could sit on their can and count Jews. One Jew,
two Jew, three Jews? Or should I say, three Jews, two Jews, one Jew? See, on top of everything else, we were having some real accounting issues. We were making the transition from B.C. to A.D. We had been counting backwards for as long as anyone could remember. I mean, 10 B.C., 9 B.C., 8 B.C., 7. We were getting down to zero. We didn't know what happened to zero. Had some friends in the hotel business, and they had this theory that a holiday was coming up. So they opened this place down the road called the Holiday Inn. Capitalize on the idea. Wish I would have thought of that, but we did have this great little jingle. Went like this. You need a cigar for this. At the Hyatt of Bethlehem. Music and passion are always the fashion at the Hyatt. Psh, don't fall in love. Hyatt of Bethlehem, don't fall in love. Lust, yes. Thank you very much. Don't fall in love. Lust, yes. Love, no. Why? Love is bad for business. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is done counting, and that's bad business. Hyatt of Bethlehem. Granted, it probably wasn't what you'd call a hotel. It was me and my family downstairs, and then kind of an upstairs room for guests, and the stable out back for the animals. More like a house, really. You know, the Hyatt house. Ever since I was a kid, I had this dream of a hotel. People from every nation, famous people, well-traveled people, powerful people, mysterious people would stay at my hotel. And then I would be famous and powerful and well-traveled and mysterious too. I would truly be, because it all belonged to me. The world of Hyatt. Hotel for the world, and ipso facto, I had owned the world. I had big dreams. And along about zero, it seemed to be working. I had these two Roman hotshots staying upstairs, and I was taking care of business and working overtime. Work out. You know that song. I love that song. Anyway, I'm just saying that I wasn't what you would call a bad guy. I was in Rotary. I was on the synagogue relief committee. Good business. I wasn't a monster, just busy, really busy, and that's how it happened. No time, no space, no place. When late one night I hear a knock on the door, I go to the door, and there's these two tramps there. One looks like a laborer, and the other, she's acting like she's in labor. I'm humming at the Hyatt of Bethlehem. I'm looking at them and thinking, these are not Hyatt material. And he says to me, hey, my wife is great with child. And I thought to myself, she didn't look that great to me. I bet she's conning me with this whole labor and delivery thing. I bet these two ain't even married. And so I said, look, the outreach is down the street. And he said, sir, the outreach is full. And she's ready to deliver. She's pregnant. And I looked at him. I said, well, that ain't my fault. And then he looked at me in all seriousness and said, it's not my fault neither. Yeah, I started laughing too. And then he gives me this look like I'm laughing at the Virgin Mary or something. And I'm thinking, I don't have time for this malarkey. And so I said, there's no room in the inn. He starts begging me. And so finally I said, look, kid, there's a stable out back. And then I shut the door. It was that easy. I just shut the door. Well, along with my wife, Susanna, and my baby boy, Moshe, I had just settled down for a long winter's nap When out on the street there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. And all the neighbors there out front, and they're yelling, "Shut up, you stupid drunk shepherds." And sure enough, there are all these shepherds running up and down the street saying, "We saw big, shiny, glory angels, scary angels. And they said that tonight in town is born to us a Savior, Christ the Lord, the Messiah." Sorry, I get all excited. But you got to understand, the Messiah was to Bethlehem what, like, aliens is to your Roswell, New Mexico, okay? I mean, prophecies of David, city of David, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. Just then, one of the shepherds, he noticed me. He says, Mr. Hyatt, we're looking for a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And I think to myself, yeah, they're drunk. And then I remembered the two tramps. And it kind of just went like this, pointing out, you know, behind the house. And they took off behind the house to the stable. I went inside and reassured the Romans that everything, you know, was kosher. And then I climbed up on the roof. From the roof, you can look back down on the stable. And I couldn't believe what I saw. She wasn't conning me. She had, like, given birth in the donkey stall. You could smell the blood and the amniotic fluid. And they had taken the baby and wrapped him in rags and placed him in the feed bin. Now, that's weird. But do you realize that stuff happens to poor people all the time? What really freaked me out was those shepherds. I mean, I knew these guys. These guys were sleazebags. And they had, like, thrown themselves down in the slop around the manger. And I could see that some of them, they were, like, trembling in front of this baby. And then I thought, good God, they actually think that this is the Messiah. And I thought, well, what if? I don't know how long I stayed up there on the roof exactly. Normally, I got no time or space for crazy thoughts like this, but I kind of lost myself just staring at the stable and wondering, you know, what if? I had said there's no room in the inn because they were too small. You know what I mean? Too small. I mean, obviously, I was counting. Obviously, they couldn't pay. Obviously, I'd have to forgive them the hotel bill, and forgive is like a dirty word. It's a swear word to it. It's bad business, forgive. Obviously, they couldn't be, at least not for free, not in the world of Hyatt. But what if? What if the shepherds were right? Then he wasn't too small. He was way, way, way too big. And I figured, oh my gosh, I bet God is counting. You get tangled in business with the big boys and you can lose your shorts. I heard Rabbi Joseph once talk to God. He said, God? God said, yes. Joseph said, is it true that for you, a minute is like 1,000 years? And God said, yes. And is it true that 1,000 years is like a minute? Yes. And Joseph said, well, is it also true that for you a penny is like $1,000,000? Yes. And that $1,000,000 is like a penny? And God said, yes. And then Joseph said, so God, could I just have, you know, one of your pennies? And God said, sure. Just a minute. And that's what I figured that God was like, you know. A shrewd businessman who always collected on his debts with impeccable accounting skills, like me. And so I figured if this was the Messiah, best to act like I didn't know. I couldn't afford him. I couldn't appease him. I couldn't get tangled in business with him. I couldn't think about him. I mean, it's what we all do, right? It's just too big. It's too much. The baby was either too small or way, way, way too big, or maybe he was both all at once, and then all my business sense was just nonsense. And all my counting just didn't count. If this was the Messiah, his smallness made him humongous, and he wouldn't fit in my inn. He wouldn't fit in my head. He wouldn't fit in my heart. He wouldn't fit in the world of Hyatt, because that world was already full of me. I had no room for forgiveness. This was business. I had no room for wonder. I had it all under control and all figured out. I had no room for compassion. Music and compassion were definitely not in fashion at the Hyatt. Don't fall in love. Love can hurt you. Love can get you crucified. I didn't have room for God. But I kept staring at the manger. I remember thinking, you know, my world is so full of everything. Maybe my heart has no room for anything except Moshe. And Moshe snuck in on me. He snuck up on me. I mean, I was all about me. And then I had a baby. He was my window. He was my light from beyond the world of Hyatt. He was life free from all of my counting. And sadly, I didn't think that that counted. But every now and then, I remember just looking at Moshe and thinking to myself, I don't want to take anything from you. I only want to give absolutely everything to you. They're born small. Then, you know, they get in your heart and grow and crack it open. Like a root gets into a rock and grows and busts it open. I learned that God in Isaiah, he once said that the Messiah was a root and the seed. And I thought, would God make himself small enough, like a seed, to get inside of me and grow and crack me open? And I wondered, what is it that God wants? Room? There was no room in the inn. But there was room in the manger. I'm staring at the stable, and these shepherds are holding the baby now. They're holding the baby. They had room. Maybe they'd already been cracked open and emptied, and I was starting to feel kind of empty too. Bethlehem was quiet now, but the night seemed alive with like a music just beyond what, you know, I could hear. And I think I wanted to go down there. I think I wanted to throw myself down next to the shepherds in the muck and the slime, shaking and trembling and crying out, come in, come in, you can come in. There's room. You can have my room. I had just about lost myself when I heard it. The voice. It was almost audible. It did not say, kill the Christ child. Or worship the devil. It was just one world. Bagels. And I thought, oy vey, the bagels! The bagels in the complimentary breakfast cafe! And the Romans, all for $69.95. I jumped up, I ran down the stairs, cursing myself, saying, Pete, you pots, you got to be taking care of business. And that's how it happened. No room in the inn. For 2,000 years, people have judged me for saying there's no room in the inn. But you say it too. Every time you're too busy to pray. Every time you're too vengeful to forgive. Room in the inn. It's like a joke, isn't it? No room for the one who made space. No time for the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Peter Hyatt has no room, as if I had chosen to be nowhere and nothing.
Nowhere. And nothing. I just shut the door. It's so frightening that you can just shut the door on the reality. On the I am-ness. On the beingness. On light and life and freedom and love on God. And I know that you've probably thought, you know, if there's a God, he'd just make it totally obvious. Just like I thought, if God wants into my hotel, well, he'll just bust the door down. That's what the Romans do. That's what King Herod would do, just bust the door down. But maybe God's not like the Romans. Maybe God's not like King Herod. I kissed up to the Romans, but I hated the Romans. I'd let him into my hotel, but not my heart. And I kissed up to King Herod, but I hated Herod. And I kissed up to God. And I think I hated God. My people had kissed up to God for like 1,500 years, and I think we hated God. In other words, it wasn't just me that had no room. In the morning, the little family was gone. I think they stayed, not God. Maybe it was God. In the morning, they were gone. Stayed at some relatives or something like that. A few months later, of all the weird things, wizards. We got wizards from the east, from Orient. They came to Bethlehem. Soon after that, I heard that the little family just like skipped town, left all of a sudden, and then it happened. Except Herod's men didn't knock. They just kicked down the door. Ripped my screaming little 2-year-old Moshe right from my arms and ran a sword through his heart. And my window shut. My world went black. All of Bethlehem was an open wound. King Herod had been terrified at the baby that was born in my stable, and now I was too. I figured that Orsha was payment on the debt that I owed to the Holy One of Israel. The shepherds, the Magi, Herod's envy, the death of my only son, it all equaled my secret terror. It was the Messiah on whom I had shut the door. And not just once, but time and time and time again. I figured that I was damned. And then I did shut the door. For 30 years. 30 years terrorized that God would come demanding payment on my debts. I shut down my soul, you know. Nothing in, nothing out, damned. Nothing was allowed into my world bigger than me or beyond what I could comprehend and control, and most definitely not people. You know, people are worlds unto themselves, and they can hurt you. So I was the innkeeper, vacant of life, no room for people, only me and my fears, alone in hell. The world of Hyatt. It's ironic, but business grew. But it was no longer my dream. It was my addiction. Along about 30 AD, I started hearing stories about Jesus the Nazarene, and I knew it was him. He called himself the bread of life. He grew up in Nazareth, but came from the house of bread Bethlehem. I heard that he preached good news, you know, healed people. By then, I was living in Jerusalem. We had opened the downtown Hyatt Jerusalem, so sometimes I'd kind of go out and stand in the crowds, listen to what he would say. He actually said, I am the life, not a life, the life. Then one of his disciples followed me home and said, the teacher says to you, that was freaky, right? Like he knew who I was. The teacher says to you, where's the room where I'm to eat the Passover with my disciples? I said, well, you could have the upper room. And so they had supper. I heard what he said. My body broken for you. My blood, the life's in the blood given to you. Drink of it, all of you. Creepy, huh? The next day, I followed the crowds to the Praetorium and then to Calvary, and I watched in shock as the pastors and the priests and the Pharisees, the religious people, Herod and the Romans, they all strung him up naked as the night that he was born in my stable. They crucified him. They thought it was good business. See, it wasn't only me that shut the door on Jesus. No room in the inn. Seemed to me like there was no room in this entire God-damned world. There was an earthquake, darkness, and then a blood-red moon. I walked home alone in hell, wondering as I wandered to the dark streets of Jerusalem. He had said, I heard him say, Father, forgive them. And then, it is finished. Like he was taking care of business. But that's some crazy business. Forgive them. Them being all of us. That's some crazy business that's not business. That's like anti-business. That's the opposite of business. That's absolute grace. He said, Father, forgive them, then it is finished. And then he sighed. He delivered up his spirit, his breath. His life. I remember thinking, you know, that the folks that killed Moshe also killed Jesus, the only Son of God. And I wondered, does God feel what I feel? Or maybe do I feel what God feels? Does God hurt like I hurt? Is God where I am? Could God get that small? Could he get small enough to enter into my hell? Did God take Moshe, I wondered? Because that's what I always thought. Did God take Moshe or did God give Moshe? Or both? And then I wondered, who could take anything from God unless God gave it to him in the first place? Well, he gives everything in the first place. All life is his life, right? Then it hit me, the tree on the mountain, on the hill, the tree. We took his life on the tree, and he gave his life on the tree, even as we took it. And maybe he'd always been given it, and maybe we'd always been taking it, and we didn't know it was him. If he's the life, then the life in me is him in me. And the life in Moshe was him and Moshe calling out to me, come live with me, come live free, Daddy. Well, I'm just saying that something took root in hell that night. You know the story. He rose from the dead. I didn't know what to make of all that for about 7 weeks. Folks, didn't hear much about Jesus' disciples during that time, but I actually had some of them stay in the upper room. I had room. They looked so confused and bewildered and desperate. They kind of reminded me, you know, of Jesus' daddy on that fateful night 30 years before. For the Feast of Pentecost, which is the Feast of Weeks, they had some friends over to pray. Pentecost commemorates the giving of the law. In other words, it's what we should do, but we don't do. Love the Lord our God and love our neighbor. It's hard. It's hard to love God if you think that you owe God, know that you could never ever pay God, and are convinced that he hates you. So I stayed downstairs. By then, my family was gone. I was alone. I was an empty old man. And I remember I kind of just muttered a prayer. I said, God, I got nothing to give you except for the breath that you've already given me. And then I sighed. I breathed out. I expired. And then suddenly I was like inspired. I mean, I heard the sound of this mighty breath, this mighty wind, and the whole house started shaking, and there were like tons of fire, and I fell backwards on my can, and I was gone. And when I came to, everything was full. Nothing was empty. Everything was full and moving, like moving through me, like a river running through me. I was no longer dammed. I mean, I was like wide open. And maybe weirdest of all, I had stopped counting because I just knew beyond a shadow of doubt that all my counting just didn't count. God is love, and love had become a river of life flowing through me, like a vessel of mercy, a vessel of life. I was shaken like a drunk shepherd. And then I thought I heard a bunch of drunk shepherds upstairs. So I ran upstairs, and it was those guys in the upper room. I ran up there. It was nuts. I look out the window and check out what I see. I see folks from like all these different nations, strange people, mysterious people, all coming to my hotel. And I realized I am my hotel. I don't know how I knew that. Anyway, one of the guys, he stood up and he yelled from the balcony, "Hey, everybody, these guys are not drunk as you would suppose, because it's only 9 a.m. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Daughters will prophesy, sons will have visions, yada, 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 and your old men will dream dreams." And then it hit me. My dreams. The hopes and fears of all the years. My dreams, my old dreams, they were back. I thought they were dead, but they were back, and they were bigger than ever. My old dreams was just the beginning of God's dream, and my dreams had never been too big. I realized they'd always been too small to hold Him and all things with Him. As long as I thought, this is important, listen closely. As long as I thought that I could create my dreams, I could not dream of my Creator. And actually anything or anyone that He had created. I saw that everything that's anything is free, including me, the real me, and including Moshe, especially including Moshe. Hey, did you know that your pastor's name is Pete Hyatt? I mean, is that weird? What is the coincidence? Some people say there's no God. That's weird. That's wild. But anyway, I was talking to your pastor, Pete Hyatt. And he said to me, you know, once I felt like God had given me the world, and then suddenly just took it all away, but only so that I could receive it all back, I think, in a new way. And then he said, "Pete, life is like that." Moshe was my life. But Jesus was the life in Moshe. And Jesus said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Moshe, Susanna, the whole world, and me, says Jesus, your life. All my life, I thought that God was just taking everything away from me, when in fact He was fixing to give everything to me, including Moshe. What I'm saying is that He's a good Father, bound and determined to give each of us His entire world. So He emptied me of me in order to fill me with Him and all things with Him, including myself, my real self. To see, if you take everything, you cannot receive anything. And you actually have nothing. For everything that's anything is a gift. So check this out. There is a place that's different. A place where the things that you cannot count, count for everything. And that place is called reality, the kingdom of God, God's world. And check this out. I am the dream that God is dreaming. God's dreams are called reality. And now I know the difference between a hotel and the Hyatt. I can build a hotel, at least in my own dreams, but I am the Hyatt, built, owned, and operated by God. At the Hyatt, the Peter Hyatt, music and passion are always in fashion. At the Hyatt, psh, he fell in love. The Peter Hyatt, he fell in love. That day, Pentecost, upper room, I fell to my knees. I cried out, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I felt God smile, and I heard Jesus say, Pete, you are more than welcome. Welcome to the Peter Hyatt, where you can truly be, because you now know that everything that's anything is free. So I didn't miss Christmas. And neither should you. The guy in the upper room on Pentecost, his name was Pete too. Is that just something? But anyway, the guy in the upper room, he finished his speech by saying, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. He might be calling you right now. If you want him to, he is. Happens in different ways. Sometimes tongues of fire. That's true. Sometimes how silently the wondrous gift is given. Either way, it's Christmas Eve. And you are the innkeeper. So open the door and give him your room. You can do that just by singing this song and meaning that. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We should sing that. Song lady. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. Silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love.
In the upper room, the night before he was crucified, it was Christmas Eve. For all creation. For the Word of God took the bread and he broke it, saying, this is my body given to you. Take it, eat it, and do it in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, and having given thanks, he took the cup and he said, this is the covenant in my blood. The life is in the blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. He's the bread of life. So when you come to the table, he literally makes you Bethlehem, the house of bread, his sanctuary, his temple, his living nativity scene, his body. The only condition is that there are no conditions. And that, my friends, is probably the most painful condition for the human ego. The only condition is that there are no conditions. You can't earn this. You can't buy this. You can't deserve this with things that you have done. In other words, you must stop counting. This is the eternal covenant of grace. So whoever you are, just, if you would, close your eyes and pray this prayer with me.
You don't have to if you don't want to. No funny business, but if you mean it, pray it with me. God, you can just pray it silently with me. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I have been full of myself. And I would like to be full of you. Jesus, you can have my room. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot even comprehend it. And so as we sing Silent Night, I'll take this candle and light it with the Christmas candle. And then our candle lighters will come get that light from me. And we invite you to pass it one to the other. And when you pass it, would you do this? If your candle is lit, keep your candle vertical. Then the candle that gets lit, turn it horizontal, all right? And let's continue to worship. Thank you. God, we thank you for loving us the way that you do. And the thing that you want is room in us for you, with you, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. May you be Merry Christmas. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas. All right. Now, if you pinch it out, that's the best way to go, okay? If you can. Do you have the courage, Andrew, to just do that? Lick your fingers and that way. Okay. And then you can put your candles in the back. And we have receptacles on your way out. And hey, come back during the week, okay? We do this every weekend. So you can come join us. But have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.